at least in Brazil, the most used sorghum is grain sorghum for grain. But for silage, we use more the forage sorghum. However, we have now increased the use also of the biomass sorghum because of the very high productivity that it has. So what we are doing here, we are looking for some different varieties that can produce more, but try to keep the good quality that the forage sorghum usually have for the animals.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
I'd like to welcome you to the Dairy Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, brought to you by Wisenetics. And I'm Rick Lundquist. Today I'm going to be your host, and it's my pleasure to have Dr. Arthur Neto. Am I saying that right?
Yes, it's Arthur Belinghi Neto. Neto means grandson here in Brazil.
Arthur Bailing Neto.
Yes.
Close enough?
Yes, perfect.
Well, welcome. Welcome. Today we're going to discuss your work with sorghum varieties for silage in Brazil, right? And I'll let you say a little bit about yourself, but just a brief introduction. You are a professor at the Federal University at Mato Grosso in Brazil. You have a degree in agronomy, a master's in animal science, and a PhD in tropical agriculture. Anything you'd like to add?
I made part of my PhD with what we call here a sandwich PhD in Sweden, working with forage conservation too. So I believe that helped me with the works that we are making here today.
And you've been concentrating on working with sorghum for silage.
Yes, here at the Federal University of Mato Grosso, I give classes to students of the courses agronomy, animal science, crop and environmental engineering, and veterinary medicine, especially in forage conservation, crop science. And regarding research and extension, today we work more with forage conservation and also with integrated systems. That is very common today to be used here in central Brazil.
Brazil is known for growing corn and soybeans, a lot of it, you know. And sorghum, you must be a little further north or a little more tropical than the region where it's grown, correct?
More or less. At the south of Brazil, sorghum does not work properly. However, we have a lot of sorghum areas at the east of Brazil, especially because of the dry areas that they are. So usually sorghum goes better than corn at these regions.
Okay, so why use sorghum for silage?
First of all, here in Brazil, as I believe that it is in the US, corn is the main plant for silage. Yeah, and of course, because it has very good nutritional quality and it has characteristics for silage. To us, sorghum is usually an alternative for areas that corn does not go very well, especially because of the lack of proper rain. So, for example, at north of Minas Gerais, at the south of Bahia, and we have some other regions. And here in Mato Grosso, we have also some regions that we can have a little bit less of rain, just like at the south of our state. At these areas, sorghum is a very good alternative, especially because compared to corn, we have also very good quality, not the same, but close enough. But the seeds is cheaper and we use less pesticides and also we don't need so much fertilizers. So it's cheaper than corn to our farmers.
Adisseo, a global leader in nutritional solutions and the provider of SmartAmine M. Visit milkpay.com to calculate your return on investment when you balance your feed with amino acids and to learn how SmartAmine M is the product for dairy producers who want to optimize milk production, component levels, and the lifetime performance of their herds.
So you've been looking at different varieties and their silage characteristics, right? Is there a big difference between the varieties that you're looking at?
Yes. When we say about sorghum here, we have mainly, at least to us, we divided them in five purposes. So sorghum for grain, for forage that can be used for silage and for cutting and grazing, for broom. As I say here to my students, that they like the Harry Potter movie. So for the game that they have at the movie, we have also the sweet sorghum and the biomass sorghum. We usually, at least in Brazil, the most used sorghum is the grain sorghum for grain. But for silage, we use more the forage sorghum. However, we have now increased the use also of the biomass sorghum because of the very high productivity that it has. So what we are doing here, we are looking for some different varieties that can produce more, but try to keep the good quality that the forage sorghum usually have for the animals.
So are these varieties you're working with, are they suited mainly in your area for beef cattle, or are you using them for dairy cattle feed too?
Usually we have here more for beef cattle. When we talk about dairy cattle, usually we have some farmers that they look for the grain sorghum. Because since it has lower productivity compared with the forage sorghum, but they have higher energy content and lower fiber content. They are close enough to corn. And we have more time to plant it, especially at our second crop here in Mato Grosso. So it can be used at a very good variety. But when we talk about forage sorghum and biomass sorghum, usually we are looking for beef cattle.
We've got a big area in the United States in the Central Plains area where a lot of sorghum is grown too. And we're using it for dairy cattle now more and more. And some people are actually using berry processors. I don't know if you've ever used that, so you can, you know, get the most out of that grain. So it doesn't just end up as bird feed sometimes, you know?
We have some farmers that are making the same processing at the grains. However, to some farmers, this machinery is quite expensive. So what do we have? If the farmer can afford it, usually they can wait a little bit more for the cutting, for ensiling, until almost to the a little bit to the hard dough stage. However, most of the farmers don't have it. So usually the recommendation is that they make the cutting 15 days before at this soft dough stage to increase the availability of the starch of the grain.
Is there a big difference in digestibility in the varieties that you've been working with, depending on not only variety, but say temperature, rainfall, you know, environmental effects? Is there one variety that's suited better than the others and continues to be digestible?
Yes. When we look here at our region, usually temperature is not a problem. As I can see at your window, you have a very strong winter today. To us here in Brazil, at least in Mato Grosso, winter temperatures is more than 30 degrees Celsius. So temperature here is never low. What we have sometimes is problem with the rainfall. But comparing varieties, what we are looking at? When you have, for example, grain sorghum for silage, usually they have the higher quality. But production is quite very low, between 20 to 30 metric tons per hectare. I believe that usually you say that in the U.S. Tons per acre, yes? So usually, so this sorghum, the grain sorghum, usually they have 3.5 to 5 feet tall and 10 to 14 tons per acre. So not very good yield to us. However, very high content in energy. Our forage sorghum, usually we have them between 8 and 12 feet high. So 2.5 to 3.5 meters. And we have a yield between 18 to 32 tons per acre. To us is 40 to 70 metric tons per hectare. So We have very good quality with that. Not as much as grain sorghum, but we have that. And what are we looking for? Looking for biomass sorghum varieties that we can arrive to 100 and 120 metric tons per hectare. To you, it's going to be between 35 and 55 tons per acre. So we can have this kind of yield. However, when we have that, our NDF content goes to 70%. Our crude protein decreases to 5 to 6%. And we can have lignin between 8 and arrive to 10% lignin. So we are looking for varieties that can allow this kind of yield, however, with higher quality or higher nutritional value.
I imagine you have to have some lignin in that stem for it to stand up when it's that tall.
Yes, the height of these plants that we can use for biomass sorghum can arrive to 4 to 6 meters high or 14 to 20 feet high. So it's very, very high.
How high do you chop them? Do you leave some in the...
Above the soil?
Yeah, above the soil.
20 centimeters.
20 centimeters?
Yes, usually we do that, 20 centimeters high. But just to make sure, usually for the biomass sorghum, we don't wait them to arrive this height. Usually we make two cuttings. Our biomass sorghum can have a cycle of 180 days, so 6 months. So what do? We plant them in October at the beginning of our rainy season. And we have a first cut in December or January. Then it's not that high. And then we have a regrowth. And we have another cutting at April, more or less. So usually that's the management we do for biomass sorghum.
Looking to maximize your herd's potential? Elevate performance with Kemin's cutting-edge encapsulation technologies, including rumen-protected choline, methionine, and lysine. Kemin's advanced choline and amino acid technologies ensure precise nutrient delivery, boosting milk yield and enhancing herd health. Trust Kemin, the experts in encapsulation, to take your herd to the next level. Learn more today at kemin.com/dairy.
So do you have an ideal moisture content when you ensile this?
Yes. Usually, we are looking for the traditional moisture, dry matter content for ensiling that we have between, at the McDonald's book, that of 30 to 35% dry matter. But what do we have? With that, usually we have the problem with the grain at the forage sorghum. So right now, we are looking for 30% dry matter, 28 to 30% dry matter, to don't have this very hard grains that animals cannot they don't have all the availability that they need.
Right. So the forage varieties, are they higher in sugar then?
That the biomass sorghum, yes. We made some work here with the sweet sorghum too, or biomass sorghum with the characteristics of sweet sorghum. And what we realized, our forage sorghum, we have between 15 and 18% of water-soluble carbohydrates content, which is very good for us for ensiling. Biomass sorghum, 12 to 15. Sweet sorghum, we arrived to 30 to 35% water-soluble carbohydrates. So we have a lot of sugar that can be used. We just have the problem with the ethanol fermentation sometimes, just like we have at our sugar cane. But with the proper additives, we can have also very good quality silage of sweet sorghum too. But biomass sorghum, we have a little bit less of sugar, but does not impact on bad fermentation. And I'm sorry, you asked for the dry matter content. For the biomass sorghum, since we have less grain, sometimes we have to wait a little bit more till they arrive to the 30% dry matter. So we look, when we can, 30% dry matter to make the silage.
Yeah, that's a lot of sugar in some of those varieties.
Yes.
That's a lot. Well, as usual, I'm going over on time. We get so much to talk about here. But is there anything you would like to add?
To us, what we can see is that sorghum ensiling or sorghum silage is increasing here in Brazil. because we have this kind of a cheaper alternative for some kind of farmers. So we are happy that it is increasing. However, I don't believe it's going to reach the levels with corn sugar and corn silage. And to us, we have to be very clear. We don't want it to substitute corn. Only use when corn cannot get very good production. And also, I would like to say that I like very much to the invitation here.
Nice to talk to you, get a different perspective, totally different growing conditions and climate than what we're used to here in the U.S., obviously. It's great to talk to you. And anyway, I'm glad to have you on the podcast. You know, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us today and for you for sharing your work in sorghum. And so that's going to conclude our podcast today. I'm Rick Lundquist, and I'm looking forward to probing new topics on this podcast in the future. So thanks a lot. Nice to meet you, Arthur.
Thank you very much for the invitation. And I would like to congratulate you and your team for with this work at the Daily Nutritional Black Belt podcast. To me, it's very important that we have technical information and scientific information arriving to the farmers. And I believe this kind of method using a podcast can reach a lot of people. So thank you very much and congratulations.
Well, thank you for that. And again, thank you for your contributions today. Nice to talk to you.